So,
Blog
you
Talk
are,
Radio.
You're coming up.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contained.
We're going to go live right about now. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we have got a fantastic show for you tonight. You know, I just wish that you all could really feel as excited as I am. Just got off the phone with a good friend of mine that I became even more inspired. And that's for another show. I'll tell you about that inspiration at another show. Let me tell you something. If you're not living your best life, you know what? You better stop and think about it. You better stop and think about it because, you know, it's time to start living your best life now. So, you know, that's what I want to be able to tell you. Tonight we've got a show that you will not want to miss. So I'm going to give you about 10, 11 minutes, we're going to read the story. This is a story that you will want to remember for the rest of your lives when you hear this. And, of course, all the stories that are aired over the broadcast are inspired by true stories. So this is no different. This particular one, this is particularly one that you will definitely want to tune into and hear. So right now while we're talking and doing our introductions and before I bring in my co-host, Ms. Cross, I want you to go ahead and reach out to some of your friends. Tell them to call in live at 347-857-1769, same number that you called in on. And many of you all have been asking about how do you talk to the host or the co-host. Well, all you have to do is press 1 on your dial. Press it early enough so you can get into the queue. Press it early enough. It often tells you that they're going to place you on hold to put you into the queue. So you will definitely want to press 1 with that. So we want to keep that in mind. But tonight we've got a fantastic show for you planned for this broadcast. So I want you to keep that in mind. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. And what we're going to do now is tune in once again. I got to bring in my co-host. Looks like we're having just a little bit slight difficulty into the studio, but we're going to try to go in and fix this technical problem. All right, we're going to just give us a minute, stand by. We're going to try to fix the difficult problem that we may be having. Okay. Now, last week we also did a show, and we may want to reiterate some of the things that we did on last week's show. For example, some of the comments that came in. I think I want to be able to go in and read some of those comments that came in to the studio last week because I don't think that we got an opportunity to do that. So I want to be able to do that at tonight's topic. So just bear with us just for a moment. I'm trying to get it where we have my co-host that's joining in with us live this evening. So we're having a problem trying to get into the studio. All right, once again, it gives you enough time to go out and get your friends and bring them to tonight's broadcast at, what is the number, 347-857-1769. Once again, 347-857-1769. And you will definitely want to tune in to tonight's broadcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about exit strategies for for an unhealthy relationship. Exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. Now, tonight's characters are India. We're going to be talking about India and who's our other character, Henry, both of them. And we're going to get heavily into what's going on with them, and I want you all to be able to tune in to that as well. But I want to be able to bring in my co-host, and we can't get her in. I don't know why. All right, give us a few minutes, and we're going to work on that. Don't go away, though. Sometimes when you're close to success, you always seem to run across challenges like this. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Thank you. We're in now. All right. Ms. Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We have a difficult time getting you in for some reason.
Oh, good evening. Good evening. I don't know why. Good evening, everyone out there.
Good evening. Listen, it wasn't just you. It was the entire studio panel. For some reason, just won't come up. And the weather's not bad. We don't usually, and this is a brand new studio. So here
we
are.
That means it's going to be an extra good show, extra interesting show.
That's what happens oftentimes when we've got a great show, ready to go. Then oftentimes we will run into difficulty because I think what starts to happen is the switchboard gets overloaded. And then what will happen is people from time to time will be trying to get in and communicate with us. But tonight we're talking about exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. You ready to go for the evening? And before you do, tell my listening audience a little bit about you, how they can reach you for your services as well.
All right. Yes, my name is Camila Cross. I am a master's level social worker. Right now, I am a certified anger management specialist, so I'm offering services on a one-on-one basis to individuals who are court-ordered, employer-ordered. I'm working on workshops and seminars, so I am wanting to help you to manage your anger and your conflicts and how to effectively resolve conflict. You can check out my website. I'm at www.yourworthispriceless.com, and I look forward to hearing from you all.
Okay, great. I promised my listening audience from last week that I would do quickly go over some of the comments that came in. We'll take about five of them and we'll do them real quick and just give some thoughts on them out of respect to the people that sent in their comments last week. Last week's show was, Can love without respect truly exist? And this comment came in last week, female. She says, I personally think that every relationship demands or requires respect on both ends. Ms. Cross, I'm going to let you tackle that one, and then I'll take on the next one before we get into tonight's show. What do you think? Is she on point?
Most definitely. Because a lot of times I think what happens in some relationships is that it does become one-sided. And I think if we kind of leaned on the whole theory of treating people the way you would want to be treated, then there would be so many things that would not happen in relationships. So I totally agree with her that respect has to be, it can't be one-sided. It has to be given and received on both ends.
Okay, I certainly agree with that as well. Mel writes in, I'll take this one. He says, I think the worst thing, this was, can love without respect truly exist? I think the worst thing a woman can do, he says, in a relationship is disrespect a man, especially in the presence of other men. Yes, unfortunately, that happens oftentimes. I don't know why some women might do this, and of course it goes both ways. I don't know if it's to impress the other party, but I believe that when someone does like that, put your mate down or your significant other in the presence of another male or female, I think they look at you kind of cross-eyed and crazy, as if to say, you're not impressing me. If you're going to do that to him or do that to her, there's a good likelihood you'll do the same thing to me. Your thoughts on that, please, Cross?
No, I totally agree. When I feel like when people are in relationships and they start disrespecting each other, that's not something that happened overnight. So this person is now comfortable enough to disrespect you in front of anyone. And then in addition to that, in front of the opposite sex, it's just like a slap in the face. So I think that, you know, overall I have this thing to where you have to pay attention to the signs, and for this person to be so comfortable with disrespecting you for one, and then for another thing, disrespecting you in front of someone else, is definitely, as we'll go into our topic, one of the exits, one of the reasons to exit.
Oh, yeah. That is certainly one of the reasons to exit that. You're absolutely right. And take on this third one for me, if you will. And I agree with your comment about the lady who sent in her comment that says that every relationship demands or requires respect on both ends. And I want to add to that by just saying, if your significant other is not respecting you, then you really don't have a relationship. That's my thought. Now, Mr. Cross, this one here, this male, he says, if you don't have respect in your relationship, you have absolutely nothing or no real relationship. He says, yes, that's his opinion. What are your thoughts on that? And it's something that I just put out there also.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not a healthy relationship, because once someone loses respect for you, I just believe that they're capable of doing anything. So if that might mean cheating on you, disrespecting you, you know, it's just you're not, like, you don't become a factor. You're not a priority to them. So it's like, what are you in that relationship for? Because it won't get better. People usually establish how they're going to deal with you very early on in the relationship. So, you know, it doesn't really change. It seldom changes to where they just up one day and say, I'm going to start respecting this person. You already showed them they don't have to respect you. You know, once it goes that far left, it's, you know, there's really no salvaging it usually.
Okay, absolutely, and I agree with you. This next, let's just take two more. This female says, relationships, just like anything else is in life, can be very difficult. Without respect, I don't think any true love could really exist. Respect really, in my opinion, equates to true love in the relationship. And again, I think we've covered that without relationship, without respect in that relationship, you subject yourself to almost anything that could take place in that relationship that may or may not necessarily be favorable to you. Ms. Cross, your thoughts on that one quickly.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you and with the writer, the caller that wrote in, because
right.
You know, it's a very, respect is a big thing.
Okay, and you take this last one for us, this young lady. She says, can love without respect truly exist? I broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years because he constantly disrespected me in front of his family and his friends, in spite of me always telling him that I was not comfortable with that. I think that if someone tells you they are uncomfortable with something, I think it is a matter of disrespect if you continue doing that very thing. What do you think? I mean, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I agree, because the thing is, in relationships, when you really love someone, I think my feelings is that you ultimately want to see them happy and you want to make them happy. But it can't be one-sided. And if you're in a relationship with someone and they're doing something that you don't like or you don't appreciate, and it's it's something that rationally can be changed, and this person is not making the efforts to do it, then I think, as the writer in said, in a sense, that's disrespectful, because they're not respecting how you feel. They're not respecting the relationship. So that's definitely something you want to question and say, okay, I'm with someone who doesn't even respect my feelings.
Okay, absolutely. All right, we're ready to go now. Forward, full speed ahead, exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. And right now what we're going to do is go to tonight's story, and this is a good one. We're going to ask you to pay pretty much close attention to this one, because you will, I mean, you won't believe some of this yourself. And again, all of the stories are inspired by true stories. The names, of course, have been changed to protect the innocent. Henry and India, during their dating stages, Henry and India promised to show each other an entirely different world. A whole new world, in fact, a relationship world that would have only that fantastic view. They vowed to be faithful, loving, kind, loyal, and all that good stuff that is usually associated with the start of a brand new relationship. Henry has 3 children from a previous marriage and other relationship. India has no children at all. Could this be a relationship based on a dream or utopia world? Well, others, including their family and friends, thought they were the perfect couple. Well, that is, until they got married. Unfortunately, 3 months into the marriage, things began to go in a totally different direction, a direction that India once assured herself that she would never travel down that road again, a road that once scared her in her previous marriage of 8 years to a man who was both physically and mentally abusive. She thought at the time that she may have gotten married at a very tender age of only 21. By the age of 29, her world had changed in a depressive state. India met Henry 2 years later through a mutual friend who thought they would make the perfect couple. Well, that perfection seemed to last for 6 months as they dated until the proposal and ultimately the engagement, which made things even more exciting, especially for India. Now married for 3 months, India is wondering if she has jumped from the pot into the hottest degree of fire to a man who appears to display absolutely no emotion, no affection, with narcissistic and selfish desires to please only himself. That's what she finds herself into now. Recognizing that she married a man who she only knew for a short span of time, who obviously causes her to feel imminent threat and danger in terms of his physical and mental abuse, she is hesitant to actually tell anyone that he's actually slapped her on a number of occasions as well as mentally abused her. She confides in her best friend in anticipation that the two of them can come up with an exit strategy to get out of this ridiculous and miserable marriage without getting physically hurt. Now, here are some of the exit strategies that they came up with. 1, a plan to leave her job. 2, a plan to remain calm without upsetting him, causing further threats or danger when she would eventually tell him that she was leaving. 3, a plan to dissolve the marriage and move out of the apartment. 4, a plan to inform law enforcement for added protection. 5, a plan to establish a savings. 6, a plan to gradually inform select family members of what's going on in her marriage. 7, a plan to have someone always checking in on her to ensure that she's safe. 8, an actual date, this is very important, to make her move or transition. 9, a plan on where she intends to go and how she plans to transition from where she is. And 10, a plan for added security in the event the need arises. Whatever goes through your imagination for added security, you know, to protect oneself. Of course, India is nervous about this situation because she realizes in today's times, people can camouflage and you can easily get caught up in the moment of passion, which is what in fact happened to her. The question, Ms. Cross, that I start out with tonight by asking you, at this point, is it possible that India was so blinded by love that she ignored all the warning signs? Because I'm sure that there were warning signs that she just ignored. But do you think that she was so blinded by this love?
Wow, this is a very serious topic that, kind of hits very close to home in terms of a friend or and a coworker that actually was in a situation like this. Domestic violence is a very, very, very sensitive matter because it's such an intimate matter. It's usually among someone who you actually loved and cared about, and who, in this case, who she made vows to, and you wouldn't think that this person would actually hurt you much more physically, assault you. That's just not, you want to feel safe in your home. It's such a sad situation, but it's a situation that a lot of people that are facing behind closed doors. And, you know, I remember in college I actually did a paper, I did a presentation on domestic violence. You know, I've known people who've been in that situation, and I want people out there that are facing this to know that they're not alone. And it's not, you know, it's not just people want to class it in a certain socioeconomical background, which, you know, kind of the levels of life, but it's on every level. It's on levels where the millionaire wives, you know, they may dress very nice, but you don't know what they're going through when that door closes. So I just want to point out that this is such a serious topic, and that, you know, if you are facing this, you definitely need to know that you don't have to face it alone. You know, so I think that, Dr. Wong, I commend you. You know, I'm glad that we're actually touching on this, because this is a topic that, if we can help to save someone's life, you know, maybe this might be a chance meeting with them, hearing this, and just to know that they don't have to be alone and they don't have to stay. But as you, but the importance of this, and especially in India's situation, we need to know how to exit safely. Because usually when a woman is trying to leave an abusive man, this is when the violence actually escalates. It's usually, you know, when she's in the situation, it's at a high point, but when she's leaving, it's usually when, unfortunately, statistics show that this is when a lot of women lose their lives. So we definitely want to, you know, I'm glad we're doing this topic, and please call listeners know out there that what we're saying is different things that you can do, but you definitely want to try to seek support within your families, within on a professional level. Definitely go ahead and know that if he hits you once, it's a guarantee that it will happen again. So I wanted to just put that out there, Dr. Walker, first. Did she stay? Well, you know, there is a whole process called the cycle of abuse. And what happens is it's something that is gradually happens. A man doesn't just wake up, or a woman, because there's men out there getting abused as well. A man or a woman doesn't just wake up and slap you. You know, it doesn't happen like that. It happens on different levels. So you may do, like, you know, she's been slapped on a few occasions. It might have started off to where he's Prince Charming, which it sounds like Henry was Prince Charming. He came in,
right.
He rescued her from, you know, her past relationship. She probably shared with him, which I am very, you know, that's, I'll touch on that later, but she probably shared with him that she was in an abusive relationship. And I, ladies, I'm going to tell you, I have this thing about being so wide open with a man so early. Because when you tell a man that, oh, I was with a man who cheated on me, I was with a man who beat on me, I was with a man who mistreated me, then you're telling this man what you have accepted and what somewhat you're willing to accept if you haven't really found yourself and stood your ground in terms of wanting to change your life. You are telling him exactly what he is capable of doing to you. That's just how I feel. Let someone earn your trust. You understand what I'm saying, ladies? So I just feel that this is something that you definitely have to be mindful of. So with the cycle, usually it starts off with maybe a little belittling, him commenting and saying, you know, something about your dress, about your weight, you know, just little things. And you kind of very subtle. It's a very subtle approach when it comes to domestic violence. After that cycle escalates. It starts with a slap. After he slaps you, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Look what you made. Look what I did. I was so frustrated. Look what you made me do. He goes and he buys you flowers. Or he buys you that purse you wanted. Or he buys you the TV that you want. You know, it's the honeymoon phase. But just know that that's short-lived. And it will, if he does not get help, it will happen again.
Well, absolutely. And, Ms. Cross, I can hear the passion in your voice and your presentation of this situation that, you know, sounds like it may have at one point hit home in terms of someone you know or someone that's close to you. And I can also relate to that, where I've seen, you know, even, you know, family members who have been abusive. And, I mean, it just... the fortunate part about Henry and India, they didn't have any kids together. You know, they lived in the house or died in the house with them. That was one of the good things. But under no circumstances do I feel anyone, especially a woman, should never subject herself to any type of physical or mental abuse in any circumstances. You know, no one is authorized to put their hands on you in an offensive way. And I just think that if you, and like you said, Ms. Cross, if you stay there, you know, you're not alone. There are programs out there now that are designed to help those women who feel that they're battered and going through abusive situations. And you're better than that. You're better than that. You're the queens of the planet. You really are, in my opinion. And you should be treated like a queen. And if someone's not treating you that way, then you need to develop your exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship. If you want to talk to, you know, speak to this issue, press 1 on your dial. Of course, the earlier you get in, and then we'll send in your comments as well. And we're going to address some of those exit strategies that India and her girlfriend came up with. And, you know, it's always good, Ms. Cross, to have a good friend that you can confide in. You know, how important is that?
Oh, it's very important because in life, you know, no man is an island. So we definitely need our support, you know, and we find support sometimes in through different people for different reasons. But it's definitely good to have a support that you can actually trust and confide in.
All right. We're going to get to tonight's. We're going to reiterate parts of the story, and producers are sending me question marks on whether or not they want to continue with the part two of this, because we're already halfway into tonight's topic. And so let's go to the phone lines, and then we'll also go to some of the callers that have come in, some of the comments, rather. Let's go to 786-439. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live. Who do we have on here?
Black Cowboy. What's up?
Black Cowboy, thank you for joining us evening. We are happy to have you.
Welcome.
Yes, Black Cowboy, go ahead.
Yes, can you say it again?
We can hear you. Give us your thoughts on exit strategies for getting out of an abusive relationship, whether it's a man, anything that's different from what was already presented, an exit strategy. And why is an exit strategy so important when you're in an unhealthy relationship?
Me personally, I'm still young. Hi, everybody. I'm Ishmael. You can call me Cowboy. I'm 21 years old. Me, I'm still currently going through, like, you know, relationship advices, but I have seen and I have witnessed a lot of relationship, and that's a testimony to me that, you know, to be aware of the possibilities of, you know, bad and healthy relationships, you know. I've seen a few relationships with one of my boys. He's currently still in a relationship with this one girl, and this one time, which was a few weeks ago, he put his hands on her, and I was surprised. It was supposed to be his first time, but regardless of that, I heard rumors of him. You know, he kept doing it, put her hands on her, and she didn't really do anything about it, but called the authorities. But still, you know, with relationships, you got to be careful with involving police, because, you know, once police is involved in relationships, they ain't gonna help you no more once you keep asking for help. You know, so it's like you gotta be careful. This relationship is a big, 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 like, accomplishment to go with. Like, it's like healthy. Like, it's hard to have a healthy relationship. You know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, you said earlier. Once he puts his hand on you the first time. Yep, just expect for it to happen again, because, you know, that's
you know, Cal, I want to be able to say this to you also. If I know you say that that's your friend, but I would be very, if you can't reach out to your friend about the importance of not putting his hands on a woman offensively to be physically abusive to her, it might be something that you may want to disconnect or disassociate yourself from in terms of that friendship. And Ms. Cross, you can add to that by telling them why that's so important, as you and I both know, you know, that association.
Yeah, and you know, I know this is your friend, and like Dr. Walker was saying, you know, you're so young, but you just sound so wise. So we do. I commend you for, you know, even coming on and sharing the story. You know, sharing the story. But, you know, if he's your good friend, you can kind of help him. Maybe try to, you know, sit down with him and reason with him, and, you know, tell him where he's going wrong. But as Dr. Walker said, if he's not going to listen, it won't be, it's not going to really end up being so healthy for you to be around him. Black Cowboy, what were you saying?
Thank you very much for saying that. That's very true. At the same time, as a friend, I'm here to give him the instructions. He picks to fix his problems. You know, as a friend, I'm here. Here's the instructions, bro. You do what you got to do with it. You either want to fix the problem or you want to live with it. You know, because you know some people don't change. Some people don't change, and some people would love to drag you along with it. So that's when I learned. You know, so pick your friends wisely, and you know, break relationship wisely.
Well,
that's great advice.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's take another caller. We're already halfway through here. We're going to go to South Florida, 954-558. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Hi, we have Indaliva.
Indaliva. Okay, Indaliva, give us your thoughts.
Well, one thing that I also wanted to reiterate about choosing your friends and your relationships wisely, I agree with him, the previous caller, but also to make sure that when you do start to see those early warning signs that you talked about, that you talk to somebody about those. A lot of times people do need that support system, like you said, to have a confidant, and you kind of, I've seen other people go through those initial situations in their mind and replay them and think that they are not as huge as they are. So they will try and justify why they talk down to them or why they call them out of their name or why they initially try to also limit their relationships that they have. Because isolation is another thing that they normally do where, okay, you had these friends that you could confide in, but now they're limiting your access to those friends. And when that, to me, is one of the more earlier signs, when you start to limit who they can speak to, who they can see, then they do not have that confidant to say, you know what, Tom called me out of my name yesterday, and when I tried to talk to him about it, he kind of like shut me off or said it was all in my head. And when you no longer have that person to even say that to, because Tom already cut you off from those people, that is one of the more earlier warning signs. And I think that that should be said to everybody who's listening. When you find somebody, whether it's your friend or your loved one, because abuse can come in different ways, not just a romantic involvement. Your best friend could also do this to you, you know, or your colleague. If they start to verbally start to say, oh, you know, why are you friends with Sally? You know, she's this or that, or why are you still being friends with Billy, you know? And they start to try and fashion you and shape you into being only dependent on them for support. That, to me, is one of the earliest signs before they even begin to call you down, you know? So I just wanted to add that to the discussion.
I certainly appreciate that. Ms. Cross, go ahead. Give us your thought on what Indaliva mentioned.
Yes, Ms. Liva is very much on point. That is definitely one of the signs of that's one of the stages of the abuser kind of escalating. They're going to try to isolate you, like Ms. Liva was saying, from your friends and your family so that you're in this situation where you may not even recognize that you're in an abusive situation. I have this thing to where sometimes I always tell people, you can't see the lines in your hand if it's so close to your face. Because you won't be able to sometimes let someone on the outside looking in sometimes can remind you or show you that you're in this situation. So an abuser typically, like Ms. Liva said, Ms. Inda said, will try to separate you from your friends and your family, because then because it's all about control. It's all about gaining that complete control.
Right, absolutely, and I agree with that. I fully do. We've got to press on because I know that we've got a lot more to cover in tonight's broadcast, and I do want to get into some of the exit strategies, and I want to talk about those for a moment. If you're just joining us, we're going to reiterate the story, Henry and India. During the dating stages, they promise to show each other an entirely different world, a whole new world, in fact. a world that would have only the fantastic view. They wanted to be, they promised they were going to be faithful, loving, kind, loyal, you know, all of that good stuff that initial relationships start out with. Neither one of them have children, they don't have children together, but Henry has children from a previous marriage and another relationship. This relationship, of course, was thought to be maybe based on a dream or utopia world, and that's that perfect world which doesn't exist. Even though family members and people in their families, friends, saw that they would be the perfect couple, they met through a mutual friend. 3 months into the marriage, things began to go in a totally different direction. Now, it was only 3 months into the marriage. It went in a direction that India had once assured us of, because now remember, she's coming out of another marriage where she, at the age of 10 to 21, at that tender age, she married, and she found out that the husband at that time was abusive. And Ms. Cross, I'm going to come back with you and ask you this question ahead of time. We recognize in psychology that sometimes people gravitate to situations that they were previously in, those bad relationships.
Oh, yeah.
So think on those terms, and we're going to speak to that. You know, she had promised herself, I would never go back into anything like this, but she jumped in 2 years later after meeting this guy, and she didn't really even give herself enough time. 6 months afterwards, you know, he proposed, and then she got excited about the engagement, and then you know how people get excited about their upcoming marriage. Well, you know, they did marry. They got married, and then 6 months later, she's realizing that she probably made the biggest mistake. She went from the, you know how they say, from the pot to the fire. She went and jumped in a real hot fire, you know, hotter degrees than she'd ever encountered before. Recognizing that she had married a man whom she only knew for a short span of time, that obviously caused her to feel imminent threat. She already felt threatened by him and danger, imminent danger by him in terms of physical and mental abuse. This guy even slapped her on numerous occasions. And Ms. Cross, you said earlier, and I want to put it out there, if a guy hits you one time, you know, there's a good likelihood that he's going to, that's his behavior, and he's going to do it again. It's just a matter of time. She confided in her best friend in anticipation that the two of them would come up with some extra strategies, you know, to get her out of that ridiculous and miserable marriage without getting physically hurt. And, you know, we're going to touch on that, too, why extra strategies are so important. And then she had a plan. They came up with a plan to leave her job. You know, we'll talk about a plan to remain calm. That's very important, without upsetting them, which could cause them to become further threatened, causing danger and threats. A plan to dissolve the marriage and move out of their apartment. A plan to inform law enforcement for added protection. A plan to establish a savings. You got to have that money. A plan to gradually inform select family members of what's going on. You got to let somebody know. A plan to have someone always checking in on her for her safety. An actual date to make her move, or, you know, to make that move or the transition. That's very important. A plan on where she intends to go and how she plans to transition from getting where she is. A plan for added security, whatever you want to call that, getting her some firepower, whatever it takes to protect yourself. So, Ms. Cross, let me go back to asking you that, bringing that question out to you that I mentioned earlier. Give me your thoughts.
I agree. You definitely have to create an exit strategy. I remember growing up, you know, and it's maybe a cultural thing as well, because I guess the person who I heard it from, maybe that was a part of what they saw growing up. Because, as I said, a lot of people actually are living this life. But the thing I remember, I always remember hearing, is never telling a man that you're going to leave him. And as I got older, that saying made so much more sense to me. And it's so sad that it makes sense to me, but it makes sense to me. I think that that is one of the things that if you're in an abusive relationship, you are not supposed to go off and tell this man, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to divorce you. It's not something, just based on the experiences of what I have seen, it can become volatile when you tell someone that you're going to leave them. You know, there are cases where, like I said, it's not usually when you're in this relationship and he's abusing you. It's when you're trying to leave that the unfortunately the woman, mainly the women, you know, lose their lives. So I think one of the exit strategies, like step one is not to let this person know you're leaving. Dr. Walker had some amazing points. You know, you have to be prepared. So in saving money, you know, trying to, you know, have an account that this person wouldn't find out about, you know. It's a very scary, this is just such a sensitive topic that I would love, you know, if this person is facing this situation, to definitely, you know, make sure they get some professional help. Because I will share a story. I worked a few years ago, I worked at a job, and I befriended one of my coworkers, very funny young lady, love life. Just, I remember going to her wedding, and it was so many warning signs that this guy was not, like, going to be the best husband ever, but we joked about it, and he wasn't abusive, but he was a cheater, and then it came out that he had a drug issue, you know, I just couldn't foresee what ended up happening. So I left that job, and I still had friends that were my coworkers that became my friends that were still there. And I remember one of my friends called me to share with me that around New Year's, one year around New Year's, she was planning on leaving him. I guess she told him they were still living in the house together, and because she, you know, he didn't want her to leave, of course, he ended up killing her and her daughter.
Wow.
And I remember, like, it was such a pivotal point in my life in terms of me understanding the relevance of paying attention to warning signs. And I remember the same, it was so crazy, the same place that they had her wedding. I remember going to her wedding and being so happy for her was actually the same place they had the funeral, which was really just really freaky for me. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, why didn't she, we blame the victim, right? We blame the victim.
Right.
And
right.
I was kind of upset with her because I was like, why didn't she pay attention? Because I found that there were so many warning signs that just where he was, it was escalating. You know, it was escalating. And she, you know, you just think you're with this person, this is the one that you love. And even when this person hits you, you still don't think they'll kill you. You know, so
right.
She just probably thought, okay, well, I'm just going to leave him and move on with my life. But he had another plan for her. So when I hear about cases like this, when I hear stories like this, I always look at the outcome of it ending the way that it ended for her, unfortunately. And I pray to God that is not the extreme that happens to anyone, but it's just where my mind goes. You know, so I always, if I find that anyone's in this situation, I was like, go listen, get some help, you know, start, you know, making your exit strategies, because you do have to have a plan. It can't just be you up and going, because guess what? You might go to your mom's house. Your mom might love him. Your mom might say, girl, you know, your mom may have been in an abusive relationship, so she doesn't understand the severity of your situation. And she might say, listen, he's over. Come get your family. They're over my house. You know, not knowing that she may be setting you up for your demise, and it's not even intentional. It's just a mind frame sometimes of someone who has, you know, if that was her mother's situation, everybody kind of takes this stuff lightheartedly. So I think that's why, even with you saying having a support, having a friend who's going to keep your secret, you know, that's going to coach you through this and not, you know, and give you valid, realistic advice.
Well, absolutely, and I feel the passion in your heart, Ms. Cross, and, I mean, this is a rather sensitive topic, and, I mean, I can feel it, and I think that you're leaning towards maybe this one for next Thursday as well, because it is so sensitive, and because it happens, and it's so real in the lives of so many people. Let me just bring in Enda Leva, and ask her thoughts on some of this here, particularly the exit strategy, you know, having an exit strategy. And then we'll go to Cowboy in just a second. If you want to tune in as well, press 1. We'll try to get to some of the comments tonight as well. Press 1 if you would like to speak. Enda Leva, what are your thoughts on having an exit strategy? Why is that so important in your opinion?
Well, full disclosure, my mother and my father, they had an abusive relationship. It was, for all purposes that what I know, being the child, it was verbally abusive. They did have altercations. If it became physical, I was not aware. I'm still not aware. But I do know that my mother has pulled a firearm, did pull a firearm on my father at one point as well. So seeing her exit strategy, I can clearly tell you what I've seen that actually worked. Her initial issue was like what Ms. Cross said. Her mother was not helpful in her being able to exit the relationship, right? The next way to go was her sibling. And so she spoke to them about it, and they were able to help her as far as monetary and help to convince their mother to get on board as well, that it was affecting her mental health, and she didn't think that it was the best situation for the children to grow up in as well. And that helped to kind of really bring home how serious it was. So I think the initial exit strategy would be to, like you all were saying, get your support system involved and on board with what you're trying to do, because you're going to have to be able to confide in people throughout the whole process in order to be able to keep yourself calm. If you have children involved, or if you have monetary assets involved, if you live in a different country to where you're accustomed to living, there's so many different factors, you know. And with that, once she had them involved, and they also were her monetary assistance as well, she then was trying to find out how to move, right, how to move out. So hers was to get them on board, get the money in place, figure out the logistics of moving, and then to leave. Now, when it came down to whether or not she was going to tell him that she was going to leave, because, again, I am the child and they're the parents, certain things I do not know about. I don't know if she told him initially that she was leaving or she did it after she was already out of the country. And I know that there are a lot of laws around that, being able to take away your children from your spouse, you know, and leave out of the country. Nowadays, you know, it's really hard to do.
We gotta get to a point, if you would, please, for us. Sorry to rush you, but we gotta take some more of this.
So I think if you have children, you have to also to have exit strategies for them and for the legalities of it. That is what I'm trying to drive home. The support system, the thing is fine, but you also have to find out the legalities of the children that are involved and the assets that are involved as well.
Okay, excellent, excellent point. Let's go to phone lines again. Let's go to 786-863. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us?
Hey, Doc, you got Deacon Anderson here.
Good. Who do we have? I'm sorry, what's your name?
Yeah, Deacon Lamarck Anderson. How you doing, Doc?
Deacon, thank you for joining us.
Welcome.
Exit strategies. We're talking about exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
Can you give us a synopsis? We're not sure if you heard the story, but can you give us a synopsis?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. I listened to the show. I've been listening to the show since it started. This is a great topic because our young ladies are getting caught up with young men, and they go ahead and marry. Okay? First of all, I advise any young couple that is talking about getting married or what have you. First of all, you need to get some counseling before you get married, because each one of you guys have a role to play. Okay? He needs to know what is expected of him, and she needs to know what is expected of her. Okay? The reason why we have all this abusive relationship is because that the male feels like he can be domineering over the female. You understand? Oh, I'm married to you. I'm married to you. I'm by law, I'm married to you. No, it does not work like that. When you become married, or you talking about becoming a union, okay? A union means one, okay? You have to understand your role within the relationship. 9 out of 10, and through my little research, 9 out of 10, she knew how this guy was, or he knew how this lady was. You understand? It works both ways. I've just been listening.
Right.
Right.
So, Deacon
know,
Anderson,
to the other
just quickly, let me ask you this question, because we got to go to the phone lines again, and we're almost out of time. And just quickly, in 15 seconds or less, do you feel that an exit strategy, like let's say she remained, her and a friend came up with an exit strategy to be calm. Just in 15 seconds or less, tell us why it's so important to maintain a calmness when you're trying to get out.
Okay. It is very calm. Due to the fact that you know this man is very abusive, you got to remain calm. However, you know, amongst the calm, you got to be thinking. You can't let this guy keep beating on you. You understand? You can't let him know what you're getting ready to do. You understand? One thing
right.
I do know, it is very dangerous for women nowadays. It is very dangerous.
Deacon
you
Anderson,
know,
we're going to hold on. Right. We're going to ask you to hold on right there because we've got about 7 minutes before we close the show out. We want to get to some of the other callers. Ms. Cross, please stand
yes,
by. Cowboy, stand by as well. Let's go here
yes,
to 305-769. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us and welcome?
Good evening. This is Ms. Augustine.
Ms.
Hello,
Augustine.
Hi, how
Ms.
you doing?
Augustine, thank you. Ms. Augustine, just quickly, if you would, I'm sorry, we are running out of time, but we do want to get your thoughts on exit strategies. I want to touch on some of those others. Go ahead quickly.
I'm going to keep it short. There's so many services out there for women, and a lot of time women are afraid to find out the service or they don't know where to go. I was in an abusive relationship. There's a program called Battered Women Program, and
mm-hmm.
it really helps you plan your escape. It took me 2 years. You have to be patient. You have to be calm. It took me 2 years to get away from my abusive husband, and it takes time. Sometimes you don't
yeah.
have the time, but sometimes you have to just be calm. And I just worked all the time and not being available to be home and find
mm-hmm.
someone to keep my children. But you got to find out what services are available to help you. And there are a lot of services available for abusive women.
Okay, Ms. Cross, let me bring you in with your psychology background, and I will touch on it as well. And I want you to be thinking about this. When a woman is, you know, when it's expected of her to be intimate with the man that may be that is likely to be abusive. I mean, knowing that if she refuses him, then it can lead to other problems. What advice, if any, and Ms. Augustine, you may be wanting to think about that too, and believer as well. What advice, if any, would you give to that someone like that know that if they don't? And we had a case on TV a few weeks ago where a police officer was allegedly attacked his wife. He was, I believe, drunk at the time. What are your thoughts on that, Ms. Cross?
That's a hard one because I think that you know, your mind is a very powerful thing, and
mm-hmm.
if you're going through all this, sometimes your body will not react for that person.
Right.
And that is something that, you know, that other person may pick up on because, you know, just that's just your body, you know, your husband or your spouse is going to know your body. But in situations where you're, you know, you have to kind of be methodical in the way that you are structuring this. And as Ms. Augustine said, it took her 2 years to leave. You want to try to keep things to a level of normalcy. You want to try to keep it as normal as you can. But I know that is more easier said than done because if you're with someone who is mistreating you, who is abusing you, you're not going to want to be intimate with this person.
Mm-mm.
You know, so that's that advice I don't really know how to pretty much pinpoint it 100%,
no,
but I just know that you want to, yeah, you want to try to keep a level of normalcy so that when you, you know, when you are making your exit, that this person is not, you know, as unaware as you can make this person.
Let's bring Cowboy in just for a second. We've got about 4 minutes, you all. So, Cowboy, and I know, and I apologize, this topic here, the producers are still sending me a question mark as to whether or not they'll repeat this for next week. But, Cowboy, let's bring you in. As a young man, you've stated, do you see the importance of making certain that you, I mean, you can send a message to all of your peers, particularly your male peers, how important it is not to be offensive with a woman. And what if anything, would you tell your male peers that have these attitudes that they think that they can control a woman?
Hey, guys. Once again, hey, guys, it's Black Cowboy. You can find me on Instagram or whatever. Thanks for having me on the show, Jesse Walker, doctor. I'd like to start off by saying, yes, it's kind of hard for my generation because, you know, everything that we see is social media and, you know, we hear it, we see it, and, you know, and it becomes us. So that's what we have to be aware about. We have a lot of celebrities and stuff out there, CNN, having these relationship problems, all these dramatic events, domestic violence and all that. And that's coming, that's in our generation. We see this. We our brain is picking it up, you know. So it's not necessarily our fault. I blame social media a lot for things. Because without social media, it would be just, you know, organic old love, you know, back like, when the 70s had, you know, like around Tupac time, you know, that was that real love and melody. Nowadays, it's just, you know, hey, twerk, all this, you know, trap music, all that. Hey, don't trust, you know, it's, you know, social media has really done this to my generation. And I see it because, you know, it's my generation. So I wouldn't really want to blame, like, you know, my homeboy because, you know, it's what he sees and, you know, you learn stuff when you're young. That's what they say.
Okay. Cowboy, I want to come in and just say this part, and Ms. Cross, and Deacon Anderson, I want you to come in. We got about 2.5 minutes. They're threatening me over here right now to soon end the show. But I want to bring this part in. I know you're saying, Cowboy, that you're blaming social media, but there comes a point in time when, and I know the rap music, and I'm not knocking the rappers or their music, well, you know, certain lyrics, but we have, as individuals, have to take responsibility for our own actions. So even though somebody may be playing something, you have a choice of whether or not to listen to that. Ms. Croft, come on in for a few seconds, and then Deacon Anderson, we've really got to close the show out because I don't want to get in trouble with these producers over here.
Okay. Yeah, again, Black Cowboy, thank you for sharing. I want to say that social media does have a strong influence on our younger generation.
Yeah.
And I feel that as an older generation, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, Black Cowboy. But as an older generation, the fact that, you know, my experiences is what makes me wise. So it is pretty much my responsibility to teach the younger generation a better path. You know, the fact that you're coming on, Black Boy Cowboy, and you're sharing, you know, I commend you for doing that. And, you know, but I feel like it's my responsibility to tell you what you don't know. Because you're too young to know some of the things that, you know, us that's a little older than you know. So I feel like it's still our responsibility to help teach them and guide them.
Okay, excellent. Deacon Anderson, we're going to give you 20 seconds, and then I got to say a few things, and then Ms. Cross, you're going to close us out with exit strategies for an unhealthy relationship and the reason behind that. Okay, Deacon Anderson, 20 seconds.
All right, Doc. All I want to say is there is no excuse for you to put your hands on any woman. No excuse. No excuse whatsoever. Okay?
Agreed.
I know they may, you know, call us our name, you know, say certain things to us, but like Ms. Ingrid said, there is a choice. You got to learn how to walk away. And if you don't know how to walk away, you need to ask an older man. I was raised by older men, and they taught me that. You understand? So you got to research your matter. Ladies, you got to research before you get married because it is very dangerous for you guys out here. And that's all I want to say.
Okay, on that note, Ms. Cross, bring us on home. I just want to say that unhealthy relationships,
yes,
even though sometimes you get involved with them and you think you know them, not
quick
enough. Is that Ms. Austin?
You don't know them. You don't.
Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Austin, quickly, please.
Yes, I just want to say social media is just bringing this to attention. This has been going on for years.
Oh, absolutely.
This is nothing new. Now we just aware of it.
Absolutely.
I think it happened in the 70s.
Right. We're out of time. Ms. Fox, go ahead and bring us home. Thank you for that, Ms. Austin.
Thank you. So I just want to say, if there's any callers out there, anyone out there listening that is in this type of relationship, I want to encourage you to seek help. And you can actually call the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233. And I want you to understand that the next beating may be your last. And I know I'm making it sound very serious, but it's because it is. I seek help, seek support, and, find your exit strategy and exit.
All right. They're telling me now that we will do this continuation part two next week. So you all that are listening, tell your friends about it. They don't want to miss next week's show. Get in early, and we'll keep with the same story, and then we're going to have someone on here, a featured guest, that has gone through this process. You don't want to miss next week's show. Listen, we're out of time. I got to get out of here. But listen, join us here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational program. It begins from 7 to 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's programming, join us back here live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show next Thursday, when our topic will be Exit Strategies for an Unhealthy Relationship, Part 2. Until tomorrow night or until next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night, everyone.